So we shift from one side to the other as we listen to testimony. But I would like to echo what the... well, I'm speaking for all open-minded senators.
Touché.
I particularly would like your thoughts, if you can particularize them, when you think about this, in terms of what sort of guarantees there ought to be to restrict the use of marginal lands, if we're going to open this up, to restrict the marginal use of lands with reference to preserving the necessary characteristics for lands that adjoin farmland. And you don't need to do it now if you don't want to, but I think that's one thing we have that I don't think has been addressed in the bill, and I'd like to see it addressed.
I might add, I think most of us do have some marginal lands that's not real productive, but we use it for grazing or timber, some type of timber production, and it creates a kind of a buffer zone to keep these housing developments away from us. And I'm willing to go along with this marginal land, although it isn't, you know, real, don't put a lot of money in a bank, but just a buffer zone.
Sir Dick?
Well, a couple of three things I wish you'd address, because I know you have worked on planning for the county. I'd like to have you particularly look at what they do to change the FU designation. That'd be one that I think would be helpful, and when you have time, not right now. The other thing is that how we protect, if certain lands are found to be through findings being marked, just exactly what do we allow there in relationship to urban services, okay? And I think Senator Roberts is correct. If we could have a finding of marginal land, it still doesn't mean that it should go forth in development simply because of services not there. And third is you're welcome. One of the reasons I know that you're supportive of the land use law is the right to farm. I mean, so you aren't subject to constant nuisance suits for general farming practices. I'd like to see how you feel this fits into that scope if we change the EFU destinations. And fourth and foremost, and I know you won't remember, but basically I think you will, you believe that someone outside a urban growth boundary, that is where these lands are affected, should not have their land zoned if they're to receive tax deferral specification, whether it be for forestry or anything. Those would be the things I'd like to have you think about when you comment. And I really would like to hear from you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Scott Ashman.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, Scott Ashkin with the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. The presentation by the Soil Conservation Service officers is relevant to SB 237 in several ways. The governor's recent task force on land use planning recommended that the current criteria for determining inclusion in exclusive farm use zones be modified to consider such factors as proximity to development, availability of services, and so on. All three of the land use bills heard on the House side failed to address that issue. SB 237 does address the issue with its proposed revision of Goal 3, found in Section 3 of the bill, and to a lesser extent with its proposed definition of marginal land in Section 1 of the bill. While Farm Bureau generally supports 237, we propose the included amendments to more fully answer the concerns of the Governor's Task Force regarding the current use of the SCS soil classification system as the sole criteria for determining inclusion in EFU zones. Our amendments simply allow local governments to use the SCS's new land evaluation and site assessment system, or the LISA system, as a voluntary option for determining eligibility for inclusion in an EFU zone, as well as eligibility for inclusion in a marginal land classification zone. We're of the opinion that the new LISA system is a vast improvement over the system currently in use by Oregon's planners. Presently, the SCS soil classification system is the sole criteria, and I refer to classes 1 through 4 west side and class 1 through 6 east side qualifying you for inclusion in an EFU zone. The reason for that criteria is that the soil classification system was the state of the arts in 1973-1975 when the present land use planning program for Oregon was being first developed. Yet there were problems with that system, and they persist to this day, due to the fact that soil classification was not devised specifically for planting, but rather was devised for use in determining the productivity of crops to be raised on given soils. The LISA system represents a great advance because while including the soil classification system, it also considers other factors, such as the economic viability of the location of the site in relation to urbanized areas, the presence or absence of transportation facilities, and so on. Moreover, the LISA system was devised specifically for use by local planners. The enclosed exhibits A through I demonstrate the simple steps necessary to rate any given region by using the LISA system. And a lot of this really is what you got on the transparencies. I've just included it as enclosures so you can read it at your leisure. We recommend that you go through those steps when you have a few minutes to appreciate the ease and advantages of such an approach. We recommend that Oregon, when it adopts this system, stay with the recommended 300-point limit as suggested by the LISA handbook. 100 points are possible for land evaluation, a 0 to 100 range, and an increased number of points being assigned as the land gets better. SES recommends that poor land be regarded as that land which receives 25 points or less on the land evaluation rating. Our proposed amendments would regard marginal land as land receiving a rating of 25 or less. 200 points are possible for site assessment, with that land better suited for agricultural production receiving the greater number of points. Our proposed amendments regard marginal land as land which receives 40 points or less in its site assessment rating. Hence, our proposed definition of marginal land would be land which on a LISA rating receives no higher than 25 for land evaluation and no higher than 40 for site assessment out of a possible 300 points. The advantages of using LISA to determine EFU and marginal land classification zoning are, first, LISA was developed specifically for planning. Second, LISA factors are all quantified and computerized. Third, LISA considers farmland, forest land, and rangeland in one quantifiable method. Please allow LISA as an option for our local planners. Thank you. And I'll just quickly, the next page, page 4, is the proposed amendment, and it's optional. And it's optional in more than one way. Page 5 is I've just titled this The Mechanics of the LISA System with Exhibits A through I, and this is sort of a step-for-step. Take you right through the worksheet. You can probably do it in half an hour. And then the exhibits, the mechanics of the LISA system on page 5, it just refers to the exhibits, and the exhibits are the last pages. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you, Scott. What we'll do is we will get your amendments drawn up so that when we do have a work session, we can deal with those, you know, as a policy question. We may, as I said, after we've reviewed this material, some of the members may want to have you and your associates back to ask a few more questions. Thank you very much. Bill Strader.
Chairman Kitzhaber, members of the Senate Energy and Environment Committee, my name is Bill Strader. I am a lifelong resident of French Creek Ranch at Glide in Douglas County. I am a fifth-generation rancher and a resident of the state. One of the greatest challenges facing agriculture today is the intensely debated area of land use planning. A growing number of professional agriculturalists, like myself, have banded together behind the concept that good land use planning on a statewide basis is essential to our survival. In the fall of 1982, we became aware that intense political pressure was building to remove the protection from unplanned development we now enjoy. In short, Measure 6 posed a dark threat to our future which we could not ignore. I was one of those who left the cattle roundups and the fence repairs to others and traveled across the state to defend our land use laws. I spoke on talk radio, television debates, Chamber of Commerce forums, and to news reporters in at least 10 appearances in Klamath Falls, Roseburg, Medford, Eugene, and Portland. Everywhere I went, I listened to the questions, the complaints, the hardships, the misunderstandings regarding land use. I always promised that if Measure 6 went down, I would work to solve some of the most identified complaints. In the time frame of November 1982 through April 1983, I joined other professional farmers and ranchers who recognized with me both the political need to bring more people to our side and the desire to provide equity where needed. One of the most often heard complaints during the campaign on Measure 6 was that too much so-called marginal land is zoned EFU, especially in the rural counties of eastern and southern Oregon. Many of these landowners are in possession of rather infertile, difficult to manage, and nearly committed land due to surrounding development. They have seen themselves trapped in a highly restrictive agricultural zone, while in reality presented with a very difficult problem in agricultural management. It is for these people that we designed the Marginal Lands Amendment to the agricultural goals. We debated and altered for weeks a very complicated and exacting set of criteria to establish a proper screen through which only the deserving land's status would be altered. We field tested in several counties to see if dangerous amounts of productive land would be lost. No. We rechecked to see if there was a significant amount of redress in the result. Yes. Now we have the matrix to establish equity to many rural landowners. Others already enjoy equity through the protection and the compensation they receive through proper EFU zoning. Now my agricultural friends and I turn once again to you, Senators, for support. Many of us owe the health of our enterprises to the faithful assistance we have received from many of you throughout these land use battles. We ask you again to help us win converts to our side as we move to a position of greater equity in farm zoning. We speak for many farm families in expressing our gratitude to the Oregon Senate for its leadership in maintaining our survival by supporting statewide land use laws, and we further hope Senate Bill 237, amended, will become law.
Thank you, Bill. Are there any questions?
I want to say something, Senator, if I may, to Senator Day's comments about the exceptions policies. In Douglas County, after we had identified, I think, 300,000 to 350,000 acres of all sorts of agricultural land, Senator Day, there were another 20 to 25,000 acres committed because of surrounding development. And then, sir, through this very, very tight exception policy of which you speak, another 20,000 acres were taken. So in all, 40,000 acres of rural lands went for development, partly about 50% of that because of the exceptions process. And it is not my belief that it is airtight or too rigid. In Douglas County, it worked very well for developers. And we did challenge, and we were defeated, and we won some. And I think that's been the case all over the state. I don't believe there is a zero batting average anywhere.
Well, Saturday. I won't spend the filibuster here. I would tell you that the experience that some of us have had, I can't speak to yours because I really am not as familiar with it, but what we've seen locally here has not gone down too well. And I must tell you that I happen to know that you followed Marion County, I believe, in your acknowledgement process. You may have learned by what we went through, but I know at that time there were certainly people rattling the saber that they felt that there was too much granted and what have you. I just can't answer you other than to look at what LUBA has performed on unchallengeable cases and the courts, and where there's been a challengeable effort, there's been very little very little granted in that area. So I just depends on the eyes of the beholder. Your particular county may have done better.
Well, I think you have a point, Senator, but I think what we have is a lot of improper decisions going from the counties up to LUBA, and I think those counties need to learn something about that exceptions process. And I think as their plans have become acknowledged, those who have had working plans for some time and have had adequate counsel along with those plans, I think that has smoothed that process, and I don't think you see as many wrongful appeals going up, so I think the batting average is probably better.
I don't know. If you take Yamhill, Polk, and Marion County, we feel we have adequate counsel, and we've been in land use planning a good deal longer than even your county, and we don't think we're exactly pikers in it, and I just tell you that I'm not going to debate it with you here tonight, but I'm just not very pleased when I see that thing go forward, and probably we're going to end up having to do it all over again. And
I am very concerned, sir, that a loosening of these exceptions policies will create a great deal more havoc than this very tight matrix which we have provided. This addresses a great many problems. We think it's very tight. We speak from agriculture where we need the protection, and we know what the problems are. And I hope that you will tend to rely on our judgment, and we, of course, will continue to compromise and work with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Marvin, Glows, and see, who else do we have here?
The crew.
We're going to start this at 5 minutes to seven?
Are we going to start this? Well, we got the work to do, folks.
Yeah. Chairperson Kitzhaber, members of the committee, for the record, Gordon Foltz with the Association of Oregon Counties, Marv Gloge, Linn County Planning Director, and chairperson of the County Planning Directors Association, and Daryl Gerritsen, who is the County Counsel for Yamhill County. I just wanted to give you a few general remarks from our standpoint. Dealing with just this area, I realize we'll probably be here every other day, and then allow these two to give you some more specific details of where we are. I guess we favor generally the idea of doing something with marginal lands. I think the question here is in which form to do that. I would hope that you would look at legislation that would relieve some of the pressure that we have had. And contrary to some of the other witnesses, we think there's been a good deal of pressure out there. We were back for a little historical purposes. When Senate Bill 100 first passed, one of the major components of that was a citizen involvement aspect that we thought was very important. The intent being, if you will, allow citizens to come forth and participate in that planning process. County government, unfortunately, got itself in a squeeze between citizens who wanted to do certain things and the state who felt that certain mandates had to be put forth and couldn't really satisfy either one. And we've been in that position for some time. I don't think we want to see the reduction of prime farmland. I think our major purpose is to suggest that some kind of process be provided that allows those lands that are truly marginal, where there's not adjacent problems, where they do not have prime farmland capabilities, to have something done with those. And I think that probably the preferable method that we see is an exceptions process, as Senator Day has suggested. What form that takes, of course, we want to participate in as well. But I think the major problem has not been the commission. The commission is your arm, if you will, of government that reviews the plans for acknowledgement. I think most of the counties have found their way through the process to get exceptions at that point. However, our difficulty seems to be in the review by courts and LUBA on that subject because of the tests that are put forth in the goals that basically would, none has been allowed that I'm aware of, that's been challenged to one of those systems. We too would like to prevent, and I know we are on record, and we're on record on a slim vote, 8-5, our association was in favor of ballot measure 6, and I'd like to tell you just a couple of comments of why that happened. Mainly because they did not feel, quite honestly, that your legislative process was going to resolve some of the conflicts they had. We had been forth every session trying to find some changes to relieve that same pressure. And I guess there was some discouragement among our members that it had not been done, that the better way was to throw it out and start over again. We argued in the staff level against that position, and mainly because, I guess, there was some pride of authorship. I was involved in the creation of Senate Bill 100, and our organization was one of the major supporters of that system. But it has gone all directions since that time. And I would hope that you would look at trying to do something that relieved the pressure, that created greater flexibility, not tighten it down. And I guess we look at Senate Bill 237, quite honestly, as one that's going to do more damage than good as we look at the long-range process that's involved here. And I would hope that you would address ways we can take that same direction and make it more meaningful, more flexible, so that all people are participants. And I guess the exceptions process is the way we've looked at that. I think we'd look at two things. One, provision for marginal lands. Two, whatever we have defined as prime farmlands, be sure that we protect those in some way. I don't think we're opposed to looking at greater protections for those lands truly identified in that category. I think the other thing that you might look at is revising the agricultural lands definition. And I realize that when that was first put forth as the test for what was agricultural lands, we were looking at just the soil classifications. I personally appreciate what was suggested here earlier in terms of adding some additional factors as we address those lands. I don't know how complex that system might be, but I would imagine it could not be done statewide or we'd be going through the whole process again. But I think it could be used perhaps in conjunction with an exceptions process. When I served on the Planning Commission of Marion County, which I did for 4 years, we found ourselves using a system that suggested to any applicant for any division of land that they, if they suggested that their land was NEFU and they wanted to somehow divide it, we said you must go employ a soil scientist in order to determine whether or not that land was truly in the classification of prime farmland. We put the applicants through that, and then when the soil scientist came back and said, no, it really isn't, because some of those classifications were done very quickly. And when the soil scientist came back and put forth information that suggested, no, it was not class 1 through 4, but indeed it was some other class, we would compare that to them to adjacent lands and add some other factors in and make our decision. But we were trying to get some verification, if you will, of what the system that was proposed, I think, is suggesting to be dealt with. And we generally would agree with that. Some other factors should be considered as we look at these lands. Well, I'll now turn over to Darrell Gerritsen and have him give you some comments on the bill itself. But that's our preferable way to go at it at this point, the agricultural lands definition and the exceptions process.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I would like to present the committee with a map of Yamhill County. It's actually two maps. This map constitutes SCS's study of our county. They have not done a LISA study of our county, but that constitutes a determination of prime farmed lands versus other farmlands of statewide importance. Basically, everything in green and yellow is class 1 through 4 soil. You note the white, broad white band to the west, that is our timber resource area. And although it would qualify as marginal land under the definition in Senate Bill 237, or large portions of it, we're not about to allow development in that area. That area is almost entirely commercial forestry, held by either large timber operators or the federal government. The concerns I have over the bill begin with the definition. As the definition affects Yamhill County, we don't have any marginal land. Taking into account a requirement that you essentially have two requirements. One, a lot size or parcelization requirement, or the other is a soil type classification to fit under marginal lands. In our county, we've attempted to take exceptions based on parcelization. In fact, that's essentially the only criteria you have for taking exceptions. Exceptions are not a planning device. They're merely a device to recognize what historically took place. So we've already taken exceptions for our lands which are parcelized. We don't have any EFU land of which 70% of it's 20 acres or less, or I hope we don't have any. As far as the other factor, we don't have any large segments. Any 320 acres, I believe, is a half a section, and I don't think we have a half a section anywhere in the county that is predominantly any other soil than class 4. So for that reason, the definition as it stands does not add anything to Yamhill County. Now, the idea that Mr. McPherson mentioned of allowing a shifting from RR to marginal lands without penalty as one of his proposed amendments. The problem with that is you immediately then up the density. One of the problems we face is there's an incessant demand for RR land. We attempt to meet that through the exceptions policy. One of the things that we try to do through exceptions, of course, is to infill that land to meet the need. If that land can all of a sudden, a 20-acre parcel can be jumped from a 5-acre zone to a 20-acre lot, we've just lost 4 potential dwellings in our RR land to meet that need. In short, it would dilute what limited land we do have available to meet the RR need, or the RR pressure. Whether you feel it's a legitimate need or not, that pressure is a constant pressure on all rural counties. As far as the use provisions, the idea of broadening the lot of record, and in this case I speak on behalf of Yamhill County as opposed to AOC, Yamhill County would be concerned with the unilateral allowing of dwellings in any zone that allows agriculture. We have adopted a case-by-case review of those lands since 1975, and the dangers of a blanket approval in lands which may qualify for marginal lands by a switchover, say, would affect areas in our county which are presently farmed in a type of intensive agriculture which you find on small lots, things such as filberts, grapes, other orchard crops. The other concern I have, if you don't amend the lot of record, then the bill as it presently stands, for any lot purchased after 1975, unless you have 20 acres, you can't put a house on it. Irregardless, in short, we lose that flexibility for even a case-by-case review. And one other thing I'd like to mention is you give a list of uses in, under marginal lands, but you don't include all the other uses that are normally permitted in the EFU zone. Should you get a large transfer from RR to EFU, I still believe you'd be in the need, have the need for utility facilities, exploration of geothermal, solid waste sites. The rest of that laundry list is presently allowed in EFU and is even proposed to be kept under this bill, should be added to the list of uses in a marginal in a marginal land zone. As far as the value, the $20,000 value or monetary determination is concerned, we don't have any problems as it sits in the marginal lands portion, but when you transfer it over to the EFU portions, whereby you create this new minimum lot size of 20 acres or the average farm, that doesn't take into account, again, the different types of crops and the different monetary values. And to give you an idea of the monetary values, in Yamhill County, the gross income per acre for grapes is $1,750. For filberts, it's $688. For corn, it's $523. For wheat, it's $217. And for ornamental horticulture, it runs anywhere from $5,000 to $20,000 an acre. So you can see that an average, a countywide average to determine a lot size for that farm dwelling does not take into account the unique aspects of the particular type of agriculture which may be suitable to the area. I don't know if the commission, or excuse me, Mr. Chair, if the committee wants to hear any more about the EFU's proposals. And my understanding is that it was like limited to...
Yeah, I'd like to break, keep sort of focus in on, I believe, Wednesday we're going to deal specifically with EFU, and you're more than welcome to join us.
Thank
again.
You, Mr. One other remark I would like to make in regard to exceptions, and deals with Mr. or Senator Day. He's Mr. Day when I deal with him in another aspect. In the Willamette Valley,
the next party contact.
We had a little discussion regarding law enforcement in this county.
In the Willamette Valley, it's my understanding that Multnomah, Yamhill, Polk, Marion, and Douglas have been acknowledged, and Lynn and Benton and Lane have not yet been acknowledged. Douglas, Polk, Yamhill, and Marion were all appealed on exceptions. My understanding is all those cases are still in court. Clackamas County is approximately 3,000 acres shy of acknowledgement, I believe. Whether they ever see acknowledgement is questionable because of the fight over exceptions. So I think the point that Senator Day is trying to make is that the amount of acreage involved in the exceptions fights sometimes does more damage to the planning process than it does as far as value to the state.
Marvin?
Marvin Gloge, chairman or president of the Oregon County Planning Directors Association, also planning director for Linn County. You've heard a lot of people from my county already tonight. Maybe we're the testing ground for some of this. At any rate, since I've testified in front of you before and also since I've written you a letter, I'll try to confine my comments to remarks that really haven't been dealt with before. Definition of marginal lands is of major concern to us. The first place, we feel that the system really hasn't been tested, and any system which is particularly is going to have statewide applicability really needs some fairly thorough testing, and not just representation of testing, but actual testing. I think the comments that Darrell Gerritsen just made as to its lack of applicability to Yamhill County is certainly, I think, a concern which we very well might have in addition to theirs. The second comment is that I think I'm really concerned about putting a dollar test in terms of establishing a marginal lands definition within a state statute. In the first place, over the years, other tests will have to be made. There will be amendments to comprehensive plans. Any dollar figure that is established within a law is subject to amendment process in the future, and as well as to major fluctuations at any particular time from one year to the next and from one part of the county to another. And I think this represents a substantial concern to us. I think the presentation that you had earlier tonight on the LISA system in our county is one of those counties which have been cooperating with SCS to see how that system would work. Really, if not nothing else, shows you the complexity of attempting to provide any kind of a uniform test. And before we actually apply that kind of a system in our own county, we're going to take a very long and hard look at it to see whether or not it actually can work within our area. At this point, we're just not far enough into it to know, and before, I'd certainly recommend that our Board of Commissioners use a test of that nature. I want to be confident that it actually is providing something for us which is of value. Another major concern with regard to the definition is how that applies to what counties have already done. Again, using Linn County as an example, we are not yet acknowledged, but we do have our basic classifications of land have basically been accepted by LCS.